Welcome to Gridiron Gurus. I'm Travis Lazarczyk from the Kennebec Journal Morning Sentinel, joined as always by Drew Bonovan. Drew, how are you doing this week?
Doing all right. How are you?
I am not unwell, thank you.
Nice.
Our guest this week is Miranda Cook, Coach Walter Polke. Coach, thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And Coach, I mean, you're in this Class C Development League so far, and some questions for Miranda Cook coming into the season after winning the season last year and kind of trying to get the program up and going, your first year taking over the program. And now you're 3-1 here, and you're looking at sitting here at 3-1. What's been the key towards the team improving as the season has gone on?
Well, our chemistry has definitely changed from the summer. Kids getting familiar with positions, teaching really fundamentally based, working from the ground up. You know, we started off teaching everything from stances to how to hold the ball, how to take a handoff, just getting the football IQ up. When the football IQ comes up, kids play faster.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Things starting to slow down. Getting them to trust, each other. You know, because we run a spread offense. None of these kids have ever run a spread offense. We run a 3-4 defense. None of these kids have ever run a 3-4 defense before. So it's, trusting the coaching staff, kids trusting each other, things like that. And so far, we're making progress, but of course we have a long ways to go.
And, I would think a lot of coaches, when they take over a program, would like to take over a team with, a bunch of returning starters and a winning tradition. They can come in there and compete for gold balls right away and everything. And, with Miranda being in a class that doesn't have the playoffs to go for and everything, and you really had to rebuild the program, some coaches might find that a daunting challenge. Did you at all, or, how did you?
Well, no, because I knew the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the situation that we were in. Football at Miranda Cook is not a school-sponsored sport. They have a football board.
Okay.
So the football board came to me, and they talked to me, and they explained to me the situation and things that was going to happen. Thing about me, I love coaching football.
Mm-hmm.
I love teaching. I learned Coach Price and, Coach Harriman and these other guys. So I thought it would be an unbelievable challenge. Plus, I live right next to the school. So schedule-wise, it works perfect.
That's going to help.
My wife's happy. My kids are happy. So everyone's happy on that one. But, yeah, I understood that we weren't going to play for a gold ball. But taking, watching these kids develop and watching these kids where we started to where they are now, that's what coaches coach for.
Mm-hmm.
The wins and losses are great. The wins are great, and all the accolades are great. But watching kids develop, watching kids get better, watching kids understand things, and that's why you coach football, especially high school football, because it's not for the money.
Yeah. Have there been some areas? Has it either come along faster than you expected? Have there been some areas that have come along faster than you expect? I remember you talking throughout the season about how well the defense has been playing week in and week out.
The way our offense is set up, it usually takes a little over a year. Because there's a lot of reads. It's a lot of responsibility. You need a center and quarterback have to be the leaders of those sections, and with play calling and also with upfront calls.
Mm-hmm.
So the offense usually takes a little bit longer. And thing about high school too, special teams always takes a little bit longer. So I was very, very pleased with our kick coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I was very pleased with the way with our operation times and situations, and and the defense. Usually with defense, that usually comes the quickest.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
In your Class C division this year, Trape Academy has decided that without a number of players to forfeit the rest of the regular season, playing a few JV games, but your team was hit especially hard by that because you had two games upcoming against Trape that are now gone. And is there any way you can recoup those games, find like a controlled scrimmage against anybody or anything?
Yeah, we've talked to some schools in the area about putting like a JV games, things like that. The hard part is it's for the Friday night. That's the tough situation.
Right.
But, that's why as a coaching staff we met. We talked about plan B, plan C, plan D.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we have a plan already, so that we keep the rhythm for the kids, we keep the routines, we keep the team dinners, we keep the offense, defensive days and things like that, try to keep everything as normal as possible. In some ways, it helped us this week, because we played a really physical game against Booth Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So some guys would take a little break this week. But yeah, we were, you know, like I said, we met the coaching staff and we put our plan in place and trying to keep everything as normal as possible.
When you're working so hard at development, like we've been talking about here, is it harder without that carrot of a game at the end of the week to keep the guys motivated, or do they realize, you know, we got to just keep doing what we're doing?
It is harder because a lot of our situation, our team, most of the kids are sophomores and juniors, especially in the bigger positions that we have. We only have one senior. Mm. And so, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because with the younger players, it's a grind. Mm-hmm. Grind, grind, grind. And sometimes they need a break. But that's why you have to teach leadership, you know, it's time to work now. We got to work. We got to keep working, you know. Just because you're a sophomore or you're a junior does not mean you can't be a leader. And so emphasizing teamwork, being as a team, leadership, helping each other, those are the biggest lessons that they're learning right now.
Sure. It's the midpoint of the season now, and that's the kind of time of year, pardon me, where things like injuries start to pile up. Mm-hmm. Drew, you saw a Coney team last week that was hit hard by a couple major injuries.
Coney ran into that problem, yeah. They, in the middle of a big win over Mount Blue, that kind of put them right back in the playoff mix. They had two ACL injuries pretty much within minutes of each other at the end of the second half. And one of them was to linebacker Mike Wozniak, who was their leading tackler, and one was to Jake Mills, who leads the team in sacks. And so I was talking, so Lippert, you know, talking to Bill Lippert afterwards, like, you know, coach, it's a big win, great win. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, it's the two people we had to see kind of end their seasons. And, you know, it's going to really, who knows what impact it's going to have on Coney in the race, but it is going to force him to make some big changes to defense, maybe shift some personnel around. And, coach, I was hoping to kind of kick the topic over to you. Can you remember in your coaching career, you know, some injuries like that that kind of changed the course of the season, forced you to make some big changes at this point in the year?
I've been when I was coaching in college, we had situations like that when I was at Huston, my first couple years at Huston, and also when I was at Bates. But in high school level, yeah, it happens more frequently, I think.
Yeah.
Because the depth isn't as secure as it is on a college team. You know, even though you have 40-something kids on that team, but you may only have maybe 18 varsity players at 40. So that makes it very difficult. But it's one of those things that you have to, the first thing Coach Price, Gabby Price taught me, he goes, you got to coach the fourth stringer just like the first stringer.
Yeah. Right.
And that's how you develop kids. You know, it's very easy to set freshmen and young kids aside and pay more attention to the junior and seniors, but you have to fight that. You have to teach that third string quarterback like he's starting next week, because he could be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, especially the situation you talked about right there. You know, the leading tackler, he's a middle linebacker. Who's their second linebacker? Who's their third linebacker?
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's what makes coaching college, I mean, high school football, that's the challenge of it. Because not every team, you know, you might have to pull a kid that never played linebacker. You play defensive end, you got to put him at linebacker this week.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you always have to be prepared for those things. You make your rosters out, but you try to plan for those, but you never, you know, till the moment really happens. It's one of those things, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah. I was one of those mid-season injuries when I was a sophomore in high school about 30 years ago now, almost 30 years ago. Actually, it was October 1987. I was hit by a clip on a kickoff and broke my arm. And not that I was, as a sophomore, it was in a JV game, I wasn't going to make or break the team, but I can certainly sympathize with the guys who lose their season, because I remember the rest of the season being on the sideline in my cast, kind of just disheartened that I couldn't go out there and help my team.
Oh no! Your coach looks back on that day and says that was the year we won.
That was the turning point.
Only Travis didn't.
No, it was the turning point, but because they improved without me on the field, if anything. Another thing that's changed this year in Maine high school football is heel points are being used as the playoff, determiners. Maybe not the right word, but what, you know, the formula for determining playoff teams instead of Crabtree points, as has been used in the past, whereas Crabtree points took into account, more or less who you played, not necessarily who you defeated. Heel points are more weighed towards, you know, beating quality teams. So this year we've kind of seen in the first four games some anomalies, if you will. Meslowski's 3-1 in Class B North in the PTCB, but in third place behind a pair of 2-2 teams, Brewer and Lawrence, because they just haven't played a strong enough schedule to earn those quality wins yet. They're going to get a chance because they're going to play Brewer and Lawrence in the next month. So, Meslowski is going to sink or swim with those. Nokomis in Class C North, 3-1, but in sixth place because they just haven't played a strong enough schedule. Coach, do you prefer to see this? I know it doesn't affect you guys as much this year, but, program continues to improve and build. It will. Do you want to see, where the wins, quality wins matter more than just playing a quality opponent like in the past?
It's kind of a double-edged sword in those because you want to get the wins that you can get. So
right.
you do your crossovers, so you're trying to get your wins that you need. So, but you got, like you said, you gotta put some real people on the schedule. That's why I really, and my personal opinion is that your conference wins, your conference should be the most determining thing that determines what you do.
Sure.
Because if you're a Class D team and you're doing a crossover with a Class C team, and say you lose to that team but you win in your division and someone wins another game like that, they have a spot over you.
Mm-hmm.
That was the kind of thing with the Crabtree too, because the Crabtree went a lot on wins and losses. Mm-hmm. So you can have a lot of wins, a low schedule,
yeah.
And because I got caught in one of these, and we had a very high opponent wins.
Because you played a tougher schedule,
right? Yeah. And we had less victory. We went 4-4, and the team that was 6-2 didn't play nearly the teams that we played.
Sure.
So it's kind of, it is. I do like the heel points. I think it's good for teams to challenge each other. Like a perfect example, I love that Winslow played Lawrence.
Right.
I love that Coney and Gardner. Sure. All those rivalries because when they were in different divisions, how are they going to play each other?
Yeah, they played exhibition games.
Right, and that doesn't, a Coney-Gardner game, end of the season, playoffs, and same thing with, Winslow and Lawrence. Those games mean something, and they go back, generations of people.
Sure.
So I do like the heel points. Is it perfect? No.
No.
It's not perfect. But that's why coaches and athletic directors need to get together and talk what is good for their team.
Right.
How are we going to get where we need to be? Because you can easily stack them against you next thing you know, you're 2-6.
Yeah. you were saying, Drew, Gardner is kind of in the same situation, heel point-wise.
I mean, you would think going into this year, when people were looking at the changes to to football around Maine, that switching from Crabtree to heel points for the average fan following, it probably wouldn't have been big and high on the list. Okay, so they're doing it with heel points instead of Crabtree's, whatever. Well, now we're seeing that there's a pretty big effect. You mentioned Gardner and C-South. This is really screwy when you look at it, because Gardner is 1-3, and they're in third place in C-South. They're ahead of a team in Cape Elizabeth who's 3-1 and beat Gardner.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, the math is wrong. The math is right. It just leads to a situation.
These things
where,
tend to shake themselves out, but it leads to some interesting things like this that don't always shake themselves out.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at it, Morse is behind Cape Elizabeth, so they're in fifth at 3-1. But because Gardner beat Morse, they get more points for that than Cape Elizabeth gets for beating Gardner, who's 1-3. So it's weird how it all you throw it all into the equation and it spits it out.
But, yeah, I've had a couple coaches tell me that heel points work in things like basketball and baseball where there's more games. With football, with only an 8-game schedule, it might be tougher for them to shake out, but we'll see. It's a 1-year process, and we'll see what happens. Games this week, what are you looking forward to this week, Drew?
A couple. Winthrop Monmouth plays Ellsworth, and looks on the schedule like a 1-3 team and a 1-3 team, like it's something you might look over, but there's going to be big time playoff ramifications there. This is part of a stretch for Winthrop Monmouth where they might need to make hay at this point, because they're playing 1-3 Ellsworth and then 0-4 Poland. They're 0-4 now. Mm-hmm. And so if they're going to try to get their way back to .500, get their way back to the D-South playoff picture, they might need to win these games. So a lot on the line there for two teams that are scuffling along with records below .500. And another one is Gardner-Freiburg, because Freiburg's 3-1, Gardner's 1-3, but because of that heel point scenario we're talking about, that's a 2-3 matchup. So, at risk here. some valuable heel points. If Gardner gets that win, that could really boost them. But if they lose, now they're 1-4, and who knows what they're looking at. So there's a lot riding on those games, and I think might meet the eye if you just look at the records.
Yeah.
How about your end? What kind of games are you looking at?
Big crossover game in Class B. We have Messalonsky 3-1 going down to Falmouth, who's 3-1. The PTCB has yet to beat a B South team this season. You know, this might be their best chance with a Messalonsky team that has just been running the ball like crazy the last couple of weeks. Put up 57 points in a win over Skowhegan Tuisco. Mm-hmm. Put up 50 points in 12 and a half minutes at Hamden last week. This is just a team that looks like it's really moving the ball well. You know, Falmouth obviously doing the same thing. In Class C North, Mount Desert Island, one of the teams that's expected to contend, playing MCI. MCI 2-2, coming off a tough loss down at Cape Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Kind of needs that statement win that they're still looking for now that they've been moved up from Class B to Class C. So I think that could be an interesting game. Coach, do you still follow other stuff, or are you just so focused on getting Miranda Cook going that you don't get a chance to keep your eye on too many games?
I don't get to watch any. I don't really watch any high school games. I'm like the old school guys that go out and scout and things like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why we have huddle.
Sure.
But I always try to keep in touch, you know, especially with Winthrop. You know, I'm from Winthrop. I live in Winthrop. The area teams that I try to keep in touch with some of the coaches that I know. Text, you know, good win tonight, good job tonight, things like that. Because, you know, the coaching community is so small, you know, and a lot of the guys that, you know, I remember them when I was a player.
Right.
You know, and, you know, a lot of these guys help me, and so I try to give some encouragement when I can. But high school football, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, since we have a bye, I'll probably find a game this weekend. I got a 5-year-old son. I'll bring him around with me. I think Winthrop is homecoming this weekend. I
believe. Oh, is it for them?
I think it's homecoming for them. So we'll
bring my Rambler son Pride,
down.
Right?
That's right. Bring my son down there. And, but yeah, you know, high school football. It's a Friday night. It's a pretty special thing, especially in a small towns and things like that.
You mentioned your days playing for Winthrop. I have to say, when I first met Coach Polke, he was playing in the Lobster Bowl for Winthrop in 2001. It was the first Lobster Bowl I ever covered. I was up at Colby looking for somebody from the West. I was looking for any players from the West. I knew Winthrop had a few good players in it. I was told the West kids were just finishing up lunch in the cafeteria. I went in, saw a guy coming out, said, hey, you know, can you point me out some Winthrop guys? He said, hey, I'm a Winthrop guy. I'm like, perfect. It was Coach Polke. Got a quick interview with him, and we were good to go. And so 17 years later now, thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem.
You told him one of these days we're going to have a podcast going,
yes,
and we're going to make sure you get on. All right.
Yes. All right, well, that's it for this week's Gridiron Gurus. Whatever game you get out to, enjoy it. For Drew, for Coach Polke, I'm Travis. Thank you for your time.